The Movie Hour, Episode 41, July 2nd, 2009. Spoiler alert, the following hour of programming may contain both movie plots and swear. Welcome everyone to the Michael Jackson Was Murdered Movie Hour. I am your host Greg Maloney, and for the first time, I am joined by James and Jeff while we are all within the boundaries of the great state of Michigan. How's everybody doing?
Not too bad, not too bad.
I'm fantastic to be back in sunny Michigan. It's living here.
Do you guys know that Michael Jackson was murdered?
Yeah. By the way, I want to bring up that the reason we've changed the name of this episode of the Michael Jackson Was Murdered Movie Hour is because we are just desperate for Google hits. So yes.
He's in movies.
What movie is he in?
He's in, like, The Wiz or something.
The Wiz, that's
right,
he was in The Wiz. All right, sweet. All right, so, yeah, no, we're fully justified in this. And the Wiz murder, we were gonna do the Sean William Scott Was Murdered, and then, you know, we just decided to change it to Michael Jackson. Anyway, yeah, we're desperate for hits. Please tell your friends about the Movie Hour.
Michael,
and if you ditch you off for Michael Jackson, stick around for a little while and give us a chance.
Oh, no,
we're not as horrible people as it sounds like.
Yeah, in all seriousness, Michael Jackson's I'm sad he's gone, and we'll have to go on through life, through its hardships without him. We'll have to persevere, and that's what we're here for at the podcast, to make everyone feel better. That's one thing we try to do over and over again. Like right now, I'm making Jim and Jeff feel better by making them sound good, because I sound like an idiot right now. Big time.
Why do you think I do this podcast?
Yeah, well, today's going
to
be a giant.
Hurt my self-esteem.
Today's going to be a giant vetting day, pretty much about Transformers 2, The Revenge of the Fallen, which a lot of people saw, and we're going to get to that. And we have some other things. We have a little surprise. Today's also the quiz week, so stay tuned for that. We need to be moving to our movie reviews, which, Jeff, I believe you have one prepared, do you not?
Do I?
You don't have a movie review?
I've actually been very busy moving.
Moving?
Moving. I can talk about a movie. You know what? Actually, I do want to talk about something. I reviewed a movie.
Give us your moving review.
Yeah, moving review. It's gone fantastically. It was wonderful. I drove a U-Haul truck from Philadelphia to Lake Orion, Michigan, and it took about 12 and a half hours. Probably the greatest 12 and a half hours of my life, I have to tell you. No CD player, just radio. Let me tell you, driving through Ohio, just listening to the radio is an experience that everyone should have to deal with at some point in their miserable lives. So, I want to talk about an old movie review that I did. I recommended that everyone who listens to this and everyone on the show, go out and find a copy of a movie called On the Road with Judas, because I really liked it a lot. Raise your hand real quick, electronically, if you've done that.
What? Seen On the Road with Judas?
Yeah.
Okay. Right,
silence. Crickets. Nobody listens to me. I'm a goddamn genius and no one listens to me. Whoever wants to do the next review, go ahead.
I ended up seeing a movie called You Kill Me, 2007 release. It's about a hitman for a Polish mob family that is based in Buffalo, New York. The guy is a huge alcoholic. He's played by Ben Kingsley. They end up putting him on a really important mission to kind of intercept another, you know, competitive mob boss. And he passes out drunk on the job and totally misses his chance, puts the family in jeopardy, kind of gets called in to the head of the family, and he gets yelled at. And since he is, like, blood, they, you know, don't kill him, but they send him out to San Francisco to pretty much dry up, you know, solve this alcohol problem he's got, and they force him to go out there. So Ben Kingsley moves out to San Francisco, and he gets forced into AA. They make him work at this mortuary of some contact they have out there, and it's all about him trying to struggle with this new life that they're making him do with the whole rehab stuff. He ends up meeting a girl, kind of becomes friends with his sponsor, that sort of thing. It's kind of a quirky drama. A lot of it's kind of cheesy, though. They kind of do a good job of keeping you off kilter by, like, not keeping the movie in the same scene Like, it changes settings, like, really quickly in this movie. And I don't know if that was a tool to try and, you know, make you feel what the character's feeling as far as, okay, you know, I'm in a totally different world now, and, you know, I'm, you know, this rehab's just got me, you know, way off kilter. But they do a good job of that. And Kingsley himself kind of seemed uneasy, and the movie's so cheesy, I had a hard time deciding if it was because he was trying to play his character that way or he was just having a hard time with the role in general. So it was kind of a weird movie experience for me.
And I'm looking at Taylor Leone is in this movie. Where the fuck has she been doing? Like, I remember her in, like, Bad Boys, and that's it.
Wasn't she in Fun with Dick and Jane? Wasn't that
Jim Carrey? She was probably doing some, you know, real life preparation for when her, you know, husband goes to rehab, since, you know, Duchovny went to sect rehab recently. But yeah,
oh, I forgot they were husband and wife. That's right.
Taylor Leone is the love interest. A couple other notables: Luke Wilson plays the AA sponsor. Bill Pullman, plays the contact out in San Francisco who kind of keeps an eye on him for the family and forces him to go to AA, gets him the job at the mortuary, and he plays this over-the-top douchebag, basically, type of a character. He was, like, glaring, and, you know, it's a quirky drama, but he stood out way too much. And then Dennis Farina plays, like, the opposing mob boss, and he was just, you know, like all Dennis Farina roles, he was exactly the same as he normally is.
I can't get out of my head. I'm still,
you'll never change.
I'm still laughing about just David Duchovny going to sex rehab, Taylor Leone being his wife, and just David just crying, like, you're enabling me! Like, stop, Taylor Leone, you're an enabler!
Meanwhile, him starring in the TV show Californication.
That's the real irony there.
Yeah. So, but overall, it was kind of neat just to see it, but it's very skippable.
Yeah, I can see that. Luke Wilson, what's going on, Luke?
Yeah, he was the straightest person in the whole movie, pretty much. It's just like, he was very subdued, just kind of stuck to, okay, I'm not important in this movie, so I'm not going to make a big deal with this role.
That's great.
Which is kind of weird for him.
What, now being a big deal?
Yeah, he just kind of seems to bring kind of some awkward comedy into a lot of his roles, I think.
Gotcha. I have quite a few things to bring up. First being Transformers, which I did see over the weekend. I saw it for, you know, mainly I knew it was going to be bad. Don't start with me yet. I knew it was going to be bad. But I wanted to see it for you guys because I knew everybody and their sister and brother and mother were going to go see it. So I went and saw it. Saw it Thursday, and it ends up I was pissed off because I'm really cheap, and apparently you have to spend an extra $2.50 for new releases, even if you go during weekdays. And was not happy about that. Anyways, Transformers 2. This is going to be cathartic. I'm going to love this. On this episode of How Much Money We Can Take Away from the Public, Sam, Shia LaBeouf's character, ends up with historical alien images in his head. Megatron is brought back from the dead and surprisingly has a boss, which I didn't even understand whatsoever, that tells him to go kill Sam because he has this information. Meanwhile, the Transformers are having confidence issues due to the military telling them to leave the planet because they suck, and Sam telling them he's too much of a baller to hang out with them anymore. Because apparently
robots are having confidence issues.
Yeah,
once you start having sex with Megan Fox, you don't want to hang out with robots anymore.
Yeah,
apparently. That actually makes sense. That's
that's the only... So anyways, the Decepticons strike at the Transformers when they're at their weakest, while Sam and Michaela's relationship is on the rocks.
How are they supposed to fight back with low esteem?
Yeah, it's a giant joyride, I'll tell you. But I'm not going to spoil the ending, so please don't ask me to. Okay, please don't ask me to.
Can you spoil the ending?
Okay, so here's what happens. Optimus Prime dies trying to protect Sam, and then the U.S. military takes his body, because Prime's dead, they take his body to Egypt, where they plan on resurrecting him with, like, this pixie dust stuff that Sam found. And he found it in an ancient tomb of, like, Transformer ancestors, so it makes sense. He thinks he can take this dust.
What the fuck is Sam doing running around in ancient tombs of Transformer ancestors?
It's supposed to be a college.
Yeah, well, what happened was, when he went to college, there was a female, an attractive female that looked like a human female, but turns out it was a Decepticon
sexbot
that tried to kill Sam. Yeah, it was a sex bot that tried to kill Sam. And, of course, while she has Sam pinned to his bed with, like, some crazy robot tail poking out of her panties, trying to pretty much kill him.
Naturally.
Megan Fox comes in and sees him with another girl, and like they're done. It's over. So they're not.
So she's
anything.
Out of the movie at that point.
Oh, and by the way, they introduced his college roommate character, which completely sucked and was completely unnecessary. And apparently, they're bringing him back for the third one because he did such
obviously.
A great job. Anyways, so Sam's got the pixie dust, and he's trying to meet up with Optimus Prime's body in Egypt. And Megatron's boss needs the pixie dust.
Does Megatron's boss have a name?
It does, but it's something stupid. I'm trying
what
to
remember. What was the name of the huge cloud in Fantastic Four?
Galactus.
Galactus.
Who wasn't even supposed to be a cloud.
Right, yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm interrupting.
Yeah,
your
I don't remember.
Story.
I don't remember what it was. It wasn't a classic character. They just pulled it right out of their ass. Anyways. So Megatron's boss needs the pixie dust to start a machine that will destroy the sun. So he sends pretty much every Decepticon he has, which you would think would be the cool part of the movie, but really you only get to see a few new guys, and all the rest are just like generic army Decepticon people. You don't get to see any of them. So anyways, Sam makes it to Optimus and turns him into Super Prime that goes and just kills everything, and the movie ends. That's it. But that's just the plot. Let's talk about the really stupid stuff in this movie. If you've been keeping an eye on Transformers 2, you've probably read a little bit about how there's two new robots on the Autobot crew that sort of demand some extra attention. They seem to have learned their language from like some ghetto stuff online. Like that's pretty much, they just speak, I don't know. They sound like idiots, which is fine. That didn't really bother me that much, but what really irked me was how they gave them like golden teeth and made them act as stupid as possible. Like it would make sense if they were just, they had the voices of just stupid voices like that and just were badasses, but they make them look stupid, act stupid, fight like idiots. Like
is this borderline racist? I mean, clearly three of the whitest guys on the planet probably aren't qualified to, but yeah. Like that sounds borderline racist to me. Like yeah. I feel like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton should be up in arms about this.
Yeah. Well, people are going crazy about it, and
good. All right.
I think Bruckheimer's explanation was like, yeah, we wanted to make something for the kids, you know, something they would like, and the voice actors, they took it in that direction, and we just said, yeah, cool, that's great. And anyways, that was pretty ridiculous.
He's going back to the voice actors, nice.
Yeah, going back to the plot, there's a lot of countless stupid plot turns in the movie, but there's a part where Michaela, Megan Fox's character, pretty much domesticates a Decepticon, like, spy bot thing to help them find their way around an aviation museum that they're happened to be in for some stupid reason. There's also a part where they befriend a really old Decepticon that's actually in that museum, like, hiding. It's not alive. They, like, bring it back to life. That turned Transformer, who was so old, they decided to give him a cane. Like, they're just like, okay, here's a cane for the Transformer, because he's old. And he had, like, a beard out of, you know, robot parts. So, I'm not making this up, I
believe you. They've anthropomorphized those things beyond all right.
So instead of wrinkles, did he have, like, dents or anything?
He had backaches. They definitely did, but like, oh, man, my back. Like, they did stuff like that.
Oh,
it was so bad. During a lot of these parts, I'm laughing, and a lot of other people are laughing, but I think they were laughing for different reasons. I'm not sure. anyways... So the last thing I probably want to point out, there's more things, but the last thing I'm going to say is probably the most retarded part is when Sam dies. He's dead. They try to, like, the army's there trying to bring him back to life. This is when he's trying to save Optimus, or, like, bring him back to life.
Does Megan Fox come and say, I love you, and he comes back alive?
Oh, that's part of it. There's...
Don't forget the pixie dust.
Sam's got the pixie dust. Remember that. He's brought back to life by an image of, like, these ancient Transformers, like, pretty much Optimus Prime's ancestors, and tell them, like, Sam Witwicky, it is not your time to die. You've earned... Like, this is completely true. They bring him back to life, and right after he gets back, like, Megan Fox is staring him, like, right in the eye, and they kiss, and he says, like, I love you or something. And then he brings Optimus Prime back to life, and nice. Optimus Prime kills everybody.
Sam,
it's literally the worst thing I've ever heard.
We have four more
life.
Movies to release.
Yeah, we have four more.
Go back, man.
Yeah, it was so over the top.
So tell me about Soundwave. That was the only part that I'd be
I'm happy you brought that up. Soundwave, who I was pumped to see too, ended up just being a, pretty much floating in space and acted as like the communication satellite guy and sort of tapped into the military satellite. And
so he wasn't a tape recorder?
He never fought. And no, he wasn't a tape recorder. He was just floating in space and then attached himself to a satellite for the whole movie. That's it. But an interesting thing about that, Frank Welker, who is a voice actor who actually did a lot of the classic voices. He did Megatron, Soundwave, Devastator, all in the original animated movie and in a lot of the cartoon series. He actually was in this movie. He wasn't in the first Transformers in 2007. They got him in for this movie to do Soundwave and Devastator, but they still had Megatron played by Hugo Weaving, and I sort of don't understand that. Like, why not just give the classic guy his role, have him do Megatron? Because also they have Frank Welker, this guy, doing Megatron for the video game that's accompanying this movie. Like, why not just Hugo Weaving? He's nothing special. Like, Hugo Weaving did do the first one for Megatron. Yeah, but it's not. This guy's a voice actor. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways.
Let me ask you. I didn't see this movie yet. Do you really think it suffered the loss of Bernie Mac?
Oh yeah, Bernie Mac's presence was his absence was felt. There was a giant void. The humor, man, I don't even know where to start. Shia LaBeouf isn't that bad. Like he could have done better, but what they did is they just split the time up for everyone. They had his parents in there. They had some ridiculous scene with his mom who got high from eating brownies during the college visit they had.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And did a tirade through campus. They gave her like 5 minutes of time. That was stupid. His roommate was useless. John Turturro comes into play late in the movie. He could have been pretty much taken. Like, he could have done a good job. They should have just given LaBeouf more time, more lines. Megan Fox, obviously, probably can't do much.
Jim, make sure we all make a note of this. They should have given Shia LaBeouf more time on the screen.
The funny part is, though, I actually don't mind Shia LaBeouf. I just don't like any project he's ever been in.
He can do a good job, and they just don't give him a chance. They try to give all the comedy to everyone else, and it just sucks. And, yeah, this movie was a complete waste of time. I'm really sorry that I saw it. I wanted to make sure I knew everyone was going to see it, and I wanted to review it, so I caught it, and I want my $7.50 back. I probably should have walked out after the first 10 minutes of the movie, but I'm happy I can bring you guys the news, and everyone listening can now know, ultimately, that they're not going to go see it, because it's bad. And I'm sure it did terrible in the box office.
Yeah, based on the box office, there's going to be no one left to go see it. So,
yeah.
You should have went and saw it on Wednesday. We should have podcasted then and saved everybody.
Yeah.
It made a gazillion dollars.
This is literally one gazillion.
This is ridiculous, people. $109 million just on the opening weekend, which doesn't include Wednesday or Thursday. Do we have the exact money on that those days? I guess we have...
Wednesday was $60 million-ish. I don't know about Thursday. I'm guessing about $40, $30-ish.
So it makes $109 million opening weekend, which is 7 all-time for this beautiful piece of work. And I'm hoping, like, have you guys heard this movie good from anybody? Like, this movie cannot keep this up. There's no way.
I've heard of one other person that's seen it, actually, and they didn't hate it as much as you, but it didn't sound like they liked it all that much either, right. So...
If you want to go see a Transformers movie, rent the last one and watch it. Or better yet, go get the animated series.
Go get the cartoon,
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and watch that, because
I mean,
there's so much
CGI and there's so little need for the human characters, it might as well be animated. I mean...
Well, actually, one other thing I want to point out is also, if you want to join the military, or if you think you're going to join the military, check this movie out, because it gives you lots of military face time, so you'll know what the military is like before you join up. It's gonna be a good ride.
Let me ask you another question. The first one, I was just struck by how much product placement there was in it. This one, same thing, different thing.
They didn't focus on cars nearly as much as they did.
Well, I mean, how about Mountain Dew and Pepsi?
I'm trying to think. I don't really remember much. You would think what I was really thinking was gonna happen was when they went to college, there's gonna be like a big name this college. this will be big for whoever's press, but when he went to college, they don't name it at all. They make
sure
never to say
it. I had actually read about that. They shot a lot of it at, I think it was Princeton, and Princeton allowed them to shoot there, but did not want their name anywhere near it because of sexual innuendo and drug use and things like that.
Yeah, it's I'm not surprised. I would be shocked to hear that the military didn't pay these people any money because – like, they had a big role in the first one, but this one, it just seems like it's a character. The military has... There's actually two military factions in this movie, like the good guy military guys and then sort of the bad guy ones, and it's over the top.
Was John Voight in it again? I forgot.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
Oh, that's a shame.
How many American flags were in it?
That's a good question. I do remember one where a Decepticon, they showed a Decepticon just knocking an American flag off a bridge just for shits. That hurt.
I instantly don't like him.
Yeah. It was,
doesn't he know what that stands for?
But yeah, product placement, I didn't notice it as much, but that's because I was probably not looking at the screen and laughing most of the time. So yeah, I guess get pumped for the third one since this thing made so much money. This isn't really like the first time a sequel made all this cash. Like, I've been looking at like this list of opening weekend all time. Like, Transformers: The Revenge of the Fallen made 7th. Out of all these, only 3 of them are like an original movie or at least the start of a series. Like, there's the first Harry Potter. I think there's the first Spider-Man, and then I think Batman Begins. No, Batman Begins. But really, oh, Iron Man. Those are the first. Those are the 3 that aren't sequels. Like, is it just
10,
the anticipation? What's that, Jeff?
Is it that out of the top 10?
That's out of the top 20. Sorry.
Out of the top, wow.
Out of the top 20, 3 of these movies had records for opening weekends that were original movies. Like, is it just the anticipation of a sequel that makes people just drive to the theater to see these things?
Yeah, that's. I mean, it seems like that's got to be the case. I mean, even the ones that you mentioned that weren't the, you know, one of the sequels was the beginning of another, like, a series. So every single thing in the list is from a series at some point, which is ridiculous.
Right, yeah, they're making another Iron Man, without a doubt, yeah.
Right, yeah. So
yeah,
I'm dumbfounded, because just looking at this top 20 list, I don't like most of them.
I think we are landing on something here. Transformers, you know, there's a lot of Shrek on here, Pirates of the Caribbean, It seems like the higher you get on opening weekend, the worse the movie is.
I don't know about that. I mean, The Dark Knight was the number one, and I like that movie.
The Dark Knight's probably the only exception in here, really,
yeah,
though. The Harry Potters are pretty good, but not amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Harry Potters, I like.
They're solid.
I can deal with that. You have, just to explain the list a little bit more for people not seeing this, we'll put a link in the show notes, but you pretty much have 3 Harry Potter movies, the Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, classic. All the X-Men sequels, all the Shrek sequels, and
3 Spider-Mans.
Yeah, 3 Spider-Mans, and then Star Wars Episode 3.
Yeah, and did you say Indiana? I don't know if you said it.
Yeah. Oh, I said Indiana. I said Indiana. Oh, yeah, and Matrix Reloaded. That's on there, too. Sorry. So these movies, like, I don't understand. Like, maybe people want to be the first people to see, oh, that first movie was cool. I'm not going to miss out this time. I'm going to be there, you know, front row watching the next movie when it comes out, and then they just start throwing up in their laps. It's just so bad.
I like that imagery. That's wonderful. Yeah, I think you really hit on something there, though. I think it's people see that the first one is going to become a pop culture phenomenon and don't want to be, you know, missing out,
left out
on this at all.
Yeah.
And they want to be there so they can tell people or that, you know, they've seen it or that it's good or that it's bad, or it's important to be accepted, and these movies are part of being a part of culture, I think. So I really think that's a huge part of it. That's probably why there are so many sequels. You kind of know what to expect. You know that it's a major, major pop culture deal, and you want to be a part of it.
One other thing that I'm extrapolating from this list is a lot of these are your summer blockbusters. Like, is it just that we're getting to that time? You know, people, all the kids are out of school. Well, pretty much, at least in Michigan, I think. I know some people do year-long or do little segments or semesters. Everybody's out of school, and they're, like, you know, maybe the numbers are just racking up now. This is where the people want to release their movies and make
summer,
the big bucks.
Summer is easily the high point of these ticket sales, so obviously everyone's going to, you know, do their big blockbusters, you know, for that. I mean, what, out of the top 20, there might be 3, 4 maybe that weren't summer.
Yeah, the only ones that weren't summer were all the Harry Potter movies. And actually, Harry Potter is now changing. Their last one is during the summer.
This year they're doing it in summer. Yeah. So, yeah, it's especially, that's the other thing that kind of is typical for summer releases too, I think. I think a lot of, I mean, the summer is known as, you know, theater-going season. So everyone has their own weekend cordon off, like, okay, I'm going to release my movie on here. Okay, I'm going to move my movie over here since you're going on this date.
Right, right.
And I think a lot of the opening weekends are huge because there's already a new movie coming out the next week, so everyone's going to see that particular one that first week, so next week they can go to the other one. So I think opening weekends are a lot more prevalent in the summer for those two reasons, you know, the summer season being a lot more people available, plus the scheduling is kind of very sectioned off like that.
Yeah, just to kind of drive home your point, I want to bring up the number one grossing opening weekends for September and October are respectively Sweet Home Alabama and Scary Movie 3. So take that for what it's worth, but I think that really kind of drives home the point an awful lot about opening weekends in the summer being a lot bigger.
Yeah. Well, let me pose the question. Public Enemy is coming out this weekend. Is this movie going to make it on this list? Is it like, is this going to be another big one? Or is it, you know, these movies up here, Harry Potter's, the Transformers series, like this isn't a sequel. So
what's
is that
it rated?
Against?
It's rated R, isn't it?
Oh, that's a good question.
The Public Enemy
movie? I do not
know
what it's rated. We will go check right now. But
it's
really,
rated R, yeah.
Like, does it?
Yeah, okay.
Well, I guess that's one issue, but.
That's a huge hindrance for opening weekends and for overall box office records. But.
Yeah, plus, I mean, still with a little bit of overlap from the Transformers, you know, second weekend, I think it's going to suffer a little bit.
Hmm. And not to mention, that girl in that's pretty good looking, but I don't know. She doesn't top Megan Fox in some sort of Decepticon sex bot, so that's.
There is a rated R movie on this top 20, at least opening weekend. Matrix Reloaded made it on there. But, yeah, there is only one, so maybe you're right. Yeah, odds are stacked. Odds are stacked against it.
That kills your potential audience.
Those kids, though, you know, those kids will find, if they want to see a movie, they'll find a way.
Yeah, but they'll pay for the PG-13.
You know why? It's because they're not old enough to drink. They don't know if there's way better things to do than go see the new movie. Also, kind of drives home my original point of, you know, teenagers and that sort of, these sorts, way more susceptible to wanting to be accepted into pop culture and that type of thing. Gotta go see these movies if you're a teenager. You don't want to be the only kid in, you know, school or summer vacation that hasn't seen Transformers 2 or whatever it is. The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, one other thing I want to point out. I'm going to go back to Transformers, which comes back to kids. There were a lot of kids in the theater, and apparently they decided, I don't know, like, I'm not sure if this was a Michael Bay decision or what, but now when these Transformers, like, get hurt in the second one, in the first one, like, when they get hurt, you know, metallic pieces shatter all over the place, whatever. But in this one, they've added, like, a fluid to all the damage hits, so now it's like they're bleeding. Like, people get crushed, and they just squirt out, you know, oil and stuff like that to act as if it were blood. It's just, it's so over the top.
So,
it's
you know,
crazy.
Listen, I don't want to harp on this too much, but I'm really curious. I'm genuinely curious. I never really watched Transformers as a kid. Is there any carbon-based element to these things? Like, they're just machines? Like, are we to believe that these things have a conscience? Like, I don't understand exactly. Like, are there little people inside of them? Or is it just their machines, their robots in disguise, and, like, that's what they are?
I think they're just supposed to be sentient machines.
It's completely unrealistic.
Well, don't worry, because the military agrees with you, and they wanted to get them off the planet immediately.
Yeah, well, I don't care if they're on the planet or not. I'm just going to go and it's an unrealistic premise. I'm not going to go see this movie. You ever heard of Charles Darwin?
Oh, man. Blockbuster hits, man, I'll tell you. Well, I guess we'll probably see another. Harry Potter will make it up on this list, too, and I'm sure this won't be the last of what breaks into the top 20 opening weekend. But.
Well, so you look at these statistics, too, and none of them on this that I'm looking at are adjusted for inflation. So, like, literally everything on here came out in the last probably 5 years. So, it's tough to really gauge. But, you know, we're kind of looking at a very small section of moviegoers, but I just want to bring that up.
Yeah, the two that are kind of impressive are, like, The Dark Knight's obviously impressive, but Spider-Man's actually a little impressive, too. I mean, looking at the percentage of what it made compared to what it made in, you know, the opening weekend, I mean, it's 28%, which is relatively low for some of these other ones. I mean, I know Transformers just opened and all, but it's, you know, at a high 47.7% of the, you know, the gross came from the opening weekend so far. Spider-Man 3 was 45% about. So just the fact that Spider-Man is fifth on the list and 28%, that's fairly respectable.
Yeah, that means the movie's got
a little
legs.
Bit of legs.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
like exactly. Titanic, it was what, like something like 18% for Titanic or something like that? Like that,
yeah.
That's a movie with serious legs. That movie, it, like, just went forever and ever. In fact, I was looking at one of the statistics. Let me see if I can find it again here. Yeah, it's, for second weekends, third weekends, fourth weekends, fifth weekends, yada, 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 in, after their original release, Titanic holds 4th through 12th. They hold the record, which I think is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
Another interesting thing about Spider-Man that you were so impressed with, but what's interesting is I think, you know, like the movie comic book craze, like, oh, we're turning every comic book into a movie. I think pretty much started with X-Men. I you know, there were some before that, but X-Men made a lot of money. And then Spider-Man 2 came out right after that.
Wait,
and
didn't Spider-Man come out before X-Men? Like
no,
the first Spider-Man?
Spider-Man, the original, was 2002. X-Men, the original, if we're talking about the remake blockbuster movies, 2000. So,
wow.
Spider-Man, I think, was just like, okay, the second dose, this is, everyone's going to go out and see this, like we said before. They don't want to miss out on their pop culture references. And everyone went and caught Spider-Man, and that was just the, like, the nail in the coffin for, all right, every production company, we're making comic book movies for the rest of the decade. And,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're bringing the Hulk back.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Eight out of the top 20 are all comic book heroes.
I'm so happy to see Daredevil is not anywhere on this list anywhere. We've got just a slew of statistics in front of us as far as opening this and all-time this, and Daredevil is nowhere near it. That just makes me so happy.
Yeah, on the flip side of my Spider-Man comment, Spider-Man 3 and X-Men 3 are at a hilarious high, like mid-40s for their opening weekend, and they're both in the top 10.
Because so people went and saw them and went, just, yeah, this is shit,
yeah.
Don't go see it.
Word of mouth got out, just like, yeah, do not waste your time.
Well, I hope our listeners can take something away from this conversation, because Lord knows I'm not. Transformers 2, avoid it. Hopefully you can figure out this equation for these opening weekend movies and how terrible they are. So I guess if one makes a lot of money, you know it's bad. That's how this works. That's how this graph's working. So it's now quiz time, I believe, James. Quiz time. And you were telling me earlier this is gonna be a shock. This is a new quiz type, right?
Like, yeah, it's a newly formed format, I guess you could say.
Oh, sweet.
Am I gonna do well on it? Is the question.
That's debatable. We'll have to, you know, try this out.
History shows that you probably won't, but we'll find out.
The odds are against you.
So, yeah, hit us.
But the premise kind of follows a little bit like the ones we've been doing where I mentioned some character names and you have to pick the actor. But instead, I'm changing it up a little bit, and I'm going to be reading movie quotes by a certain actor, and you have to figure out which actor has said all the movie quotes.
Nice. Is this going to be hard? I feel like this is going to be... Well, we'll find out, I guess.
And each quote will be from a different movie in which this actor or actress performed. So
you give us one quote, and then we guess?
We guess the actor or actress, not the movie.
But I'm just saying, you're not going to say, like, three quotes and then guess.
No, I'll do a slow one at a time.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Let's do this. So, like,
and how many are you going to have for each if we fail that
much? I've got at least five for each.
Okay. God, this is going to be great.
These aren't all famous quotes either, so I'm not going to have, you know, the frankly, my dear, you know, I don't give a damn type of quote.
I don't even know what that guy's name is. Clark Gable?
Yes, exactly. Clark. But, like, some of them might just be more of a clue of the movie, you know, to kind of describe the movie that he was in. So,
this is gonna
I picked a reason for him to be in here, so I guess that might help you.
I'm sick and tired of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Yeah, please. Yes, yeah, it's got to be on there. All right.
So I guess I'll start with what I think might be an easy one and see where we can go from there. All right, first quote. There are only murderers in this room, Michael. Open your eyes. This is the life we choose, the life we lead. And there is only one guarantee. None of us will see heaven.
Tom Hanks.
Nope. All right, next quote. Oh, you cheap son of a bitch. Are you crazy? Those guys are retards.
It's a great quote. I don't think I've seen that movie.
All right, next one. Vincent, get in the car. This is embarrassing. You're acting like
Samuel
some girl
Jackson.
Felt... No.
John Travolta.
You're acting like some girl who got felt up at the drive-in.
Marlon
Harvey
Brandon.
Keitel. Harvey Keitel.
No.
God, I'm just shouting every name I can think of, aren't I?
All right.
What was the... Never mind. Go ahead. Go ahead.
After what happened to Luther, I don't think I can get more than 200-300 guys.
After what happened to Luther...
Okay.
Lex Luthor?
Kid, the next time I say, let's go someplace like Bolivia, let's go someplace like Bolivia.
God, I know that one. Son of a bitch.
Oh, okay. Well, Richard Pryor. I don't know.
That one is a little bit more famous.
Let's see.
Okay, I've got two more.
Kurt Russell?
I think I like the first hint the best. All right, go ahead.
I can eat 50 eggs.
Paul Newman.
Paul Newman, shit!
Yeah.
I almost fell out of my chair.
What was the first one from? We're all murderers.
It's from Road to Perdition.
Yeah,
that's why I said Tom Hanks.
Because you said Tom Hanks, and I'm like, oh, he's going to get this quickly. The cheap son of a bitch, are you crazy, the retards? Slapshot.
Nice. Yeah.
And then Bolivia one was from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Yeah. Yeah. God damn it. I can't believe it. Luther, wow, I fucking hate this quiz. Fuck, shit, ass.
And Vincent, get in the car. This is embarrassing. Color of Money.
Oh, man. Yeah, Vincent being Tom Cruise's guy. Yeah.
Moving on.
We did very well. I'm sure nobody at home
so
beat us on
fucking,
that.
Yeah, everybody beat us on that one. Whatever. You don't have any idea what the pressure of actually being on this show is like. None of you. None of you. You don't know what it's like to be me. Don't judge me.
All right. God, I'd give anything for a drink. I'd give my goddamn soul just for a glass of beer.
Ooh. That's interesting.
But Mrs. Mulray, I goddamn near lost my nose, and I like it. I like breathing through it, and I still think you're hiding something.
That's two goddams. All right, can we get a goddamn on the third quote?
Next one. I must be crazy to be in a loony bin like this.
This is so
Jack
tough.
Nicholson?
Correct.
Oh. What's the second one from? I nearly lost my nose.
Chinatown.
Oh, I've never seen that.
You're missing out. Yeah. It's a great movie.
He spends most of the movie with a bandage over his nose.
Damn it.
1-1. 1-1. Coming back, bitches.
Okay.
Jack Nicholson.
The assassin always dies, baby. It's necessary for the national healing.
Al Pacino.
Okay, next one. Is there some reason that my coffee isn't here? Has she died or something?
Steve Buscemi. I'm just going to guess everything.
Kevin Spacey?
Nope. There were three guys around the same time.
There were three guys around the same time?
The pause wasn't intentional. Okay. There were three guys around the same time.
Oh, okay.
... I'm not taking him with me. I'm no good for him. I'm terrible with him. I have no patience. He's better off without me.
Norm
Dustin
McDonald.
Hoffman?
Nope.
Tom Cruise.
Last one?
Tom Cruise.
This. All right. What I came to understand is that change is not a choice. Not for a species of plant, and not for me.
Oh, shit. Jesus. I know that one. Nick Cage.
Nope.
Leslie
Meryl
Nielsen.
Streep?
Meryl Streep, yes.
Fuck yeah.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah,
what was what's the last one from? Adaptation. No wonder, Nick Cage, no wonder you knew it, you psycho.
Yeah, the assassin one was about the Manchurian Candidate remake. The coffee, Devil Wears Prada. The three guys one, Mamma Mia. And I'm not taking him with me as the Kramer versus Kramer.
You know, it's funny, the Dustin Hoffman, I that's why I guessed that, and I've never even seen that. Wow, all right, I didn't even
you guys are
just
guys the
movie.
Entire time.
You have to do it. Well, if you would do a female voice, maybe we'd have a chance.
Honestly, Jim.
All right, let's go with this one. This is kind of a long first one, so bear with me. Freddie, as a younger man, I was a sculptor, a painter, and a musician. There was just one problem. I wasn't very good. As a matter of fact, I was dreadful. I finally came to the frustrating conclusion that I had taste and style, but not talent. I knew my limitations. We all have our limitations, Freddie. Fortunately, I discovered that taste and style were commodities and people desired. Freddie, what I'm trying to say is, know your limitations. You are a moron.
Bruce Willis.
Nope.
But if I said that with enough authority, you might second guess yourself. All right.
All right. Next one. The last thing we need is some little sissy boy hanging around all summer.
Hank Azaria.
Nope.
Michael Douglas.
Nope. Next one. Why do we fall, sir, so that we might learn to pick ourselves up?
The father from Batman Begins. Michael Caine.
Shit!
Michael Caine is correct.
So Michael Caine. The father says it too. I just want to point that out. Go ahead.
So yeah, the first long one was from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and the second one was from Secondhand Lions.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is so great. And Frankie's Steve Martin's character, yeah?
Freddy,
or is that
yes.
The girl?
Nope, Freddie is yeah. Got, is Steve Martin.
Right. Freddie.
All right. Next one. No, how could I? I'm just a humorless ice maiden in desperate need of a good humping. Next one. This isn't hunting, Ian. It's searching. They're looking for their infant.
Eugene Levy.
Nope. Next one. Why did you change the picture? You replaced our book with an empty book. You erased our son.
What? Erased our son.
You erased our son.
Julia Roberts.
Oh, it's Sam Neill?
Nope.
Oh, damn it. I felt really good about that. All right, go ahead.
Okay, next one. This is from the Guinness Book of World Records, congratulating me on being a female FBI agent who has shot and killed the most people.
Jodie Foster?
Nope.
I was going to be really pissed because I couldn't think of her name. That's it. So, yeah.
We both went to the same thing. Female FBI, Jodie Foster,
yeah.
Go.
Ah.
Okay, next one. In a sense, yes. My art has been commended as being strongly vaginal, which bothers some
Julianne men. Moore, yes!
Oh.
Yes!
Big Lebowski!
You guys are bouncing around at somewhat Sam Neill, because that one quote was about Jurassic Park, but the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she did
she
play
Clarice
Starling,
yeah.
In Hannibal.
Oh, the coup de grace.
Erased your son, The Forgotten. And The Humorless Ice Maiden is apparently from Evolution. I've never seen it. But
seriously,
it
Jim? A quote from The Forgotten? Come on.
I thought of that that scene and thought you might be able to get it from it.
I've never seen The Forgotten, but yeah. Well, let's press on knowing that I'm ahead. 3-2.
So it's 3-2 right now for everybody, and I'm sure
for all those of you playing at home that think we're idiots for not getting these.
All right, next one. In the past 21 days, you boys have made some fine progress. You're not fighting soldiers yet, but I match you up against some Nazi cocktail waitress anytime.
Denzel Washington.
Nope. Okay, next one. Sack, I've always liked you. So I put up with your stories about scallops and otters. And it's all good because you seem to make her happy.
Walking.
And that's what matters to me most. Yes.
Boom, bitch!
Walking.
So, first one's Biloxi Blues or whatever it is. Second
yep,
one's...
Biloxi Blues. Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers.
All right.
All right, I need to get this one or I'm done.
He isn't dead. And do you know why? Because I haven't killed him yet.
Chuck Norris?
Nope.
Ed Harris.
Correct.
Wow.
Of course I'll get Ed Harris. He's my boy.
Is that from Enemy at the Gates?
Enemy at the Gates.
Enemy at the Gates,
wow,
yep.
Nice.
All right. I feel a little bit better.
It's a pretty cool quote, actually. I like that quote. I don't remember liking that movie very much, but I like that quote.
Yeah, it's all right.
Next person. Nothing to it, is there? Remember, they love money, so pretend like you own a gold mine and you're in the club. Next one. I am a gay lesbian woman. I do not mythologize the male sexual organ.
Hmm. We can't get gay lesbian woman actress.
The next one. I speak for the President of the United States. Now please tell me why you've come to our planet.
Meryl Streep.
No.
Susan Sarandon.
No. Next one.
Sigourney Weaver.
No. That's nonsense. I invented electricity. Ben Franklin is the devil.
That's a great quote.
David Bowie?
Okay, this is the last one. And don't even think about anybody coming for you. Not the doctors, not your agent, not your family. Because I never called them. Nobody knows you're here, and you better hope nothing happens to me, because
oh,
if I die,
God,
you
it's,
die.
Oh, God, it's, Kathy Bates. Kathy Bates.
Correct. Yes. Wow.
Yep. From,
the rich one was Titanic. The gay lesbian woman, Primary Colors. Why You've Come to Planet, Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin Devil, Waterboy. And the last one, Misery.
Misery was the giveaway for sure. All right, so this is it.
4-4.
It's 4-4.
Wait, how many do you have, Jim?
I've got three more.
Okay, yeah, three. We can do all three. I'm calling the shots here, Greg. You're no longer the host.
All right, man. All right.
You win this quiz, you can be the host again.
Go ahead.
All right. I don't know if my wife left me because I of
Nick
my
Cage
dream or I.
Boom. Yeah, that's how it goes. That's
did
the
you guys
kind of
set this
playing
up like oh
that's
two,
the kind
one,
of game
two,
we're
three,
playing.
One.
That's hey. Pressure's on. Pressure's on, bitch. Let's see you compete with that.
I was hoping to get to, is this hers? How to get burned. How to get burned.
How to get burned. How to get burned.
I was going to read it just like
that. Not the bees. Right.
Next person.
Wait, hold on. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
I was going to kill my heroine, but I've changed my mind.
Pee Wee Herman.
Nope. Next one.
Cher.
Tell me something. Those two girls at the party last night, did you by any chance happen to fuck them?
Jim Carrey.
Robert Downey Jr.
Nope. If you are fighting, stop fighting. If you are marching, stop marching. Come back to me. Come back to me is my request.
Nicole Kidman?
Yep.
Yes. That's from Cold Mountain or whatever, right?
Yes. Yep. The first one about killing her heroine is The Hours, where she plays Virginia Woolf. And the two girls and fucking is Eyes Wide Shut.
All right, you should have watched the Let's Fuck or whatever it is the final line of that movie. That's I would have gotten that, no problem.
Okay, last one. Welcome to Music Town. May I service you?
By the way, this is it's 5-5 right now.
This
is it. This
clutch.
Really? I don't even number. Weird. Oh, wait, no, I do have one more. I lied.
No, this is it. This is...
It should be 5-5, I think, at this point.
It is 5-5 right now.
Okay, next one. Ain't no man better than me, on account of there's no man around here that ain't old or full of mischief.
Samuel L. Jackson?
Nope.
Morgan Freeman? Denzel Washington?
Nope.
Go ahead.
Next one.
You are a racist, sir.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be a celebrity. That means somebody everyone knows. They're going to recognize my eyes, my hair, my teeth, my boobs, my nose.
Ooh, boobs.
Yeah, now you can switch genders. Okay, next one. On the surface, everything seems fine. I've got this great guy, and he loves my kid, and he sure does like me.
Renee Zellweger!
Yes.
Oh.
Boom! God. Yes! Victory is mine once again, and I am still the absolute quiz champion. Oh, Greg, This is my show now. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jeff Hendrickson Movie Hour. How's everybody doing today?
It's the Jeff Hendrickson's a Prick Movie Hour.
All right, so save the last one for later then.
Yeah, that was cool.
I really enjoyed that. You did a great job with that. That was one of my favorite quizzes.
Good. I'm glad.
That was not easy
for everyone else too.
Yeah, I
don't give a shit. This is my show now. We're not doing it for the fans anymore. It's all about me.
All right, Jeff. It's your show. What do we do next?
I think maybe we should go to the Parker Posey's play along.
What are you asking me? It's your show.
No, I'm not asking anybody. Goddamn it. We're here. Actually, Greg, just for the remainder of this show, for legacy's sake, why don't you go ahead and take over?
All right. It is time for the Parker Posey play along.
That's what I just fucking said. This
is
terrible.
Which is our favorite feature,
Greg,
of the
you
show.
Have the con.
What's that?
I said, Greg, you have the con.
Yeah, I have the con. That's right. Favorite feature of the show, at least mine. Last week's we had a question. Jeff's question was, for what famous person would you like to see a biopic made? And for bonus points, if you could.
I actually said biopic, but, you know, we can talk about that later.
That's true.
And for bonus points, who should portray that person? And Jeff, it was your question, so go ahead and what did you say was one of your favorite answers out of the slew?
Honestly, Greg, now that I'm done giving you tons of shit, yours was one of my favorite answers without a doubt, hands down. Yours maybe the best. My other favorite was Jarves, just because of the his excellent picks for Greg's, of course, last week being. What's his name? The guy with the acid
test. George Hunter White, which I couldn't remember during the show either. I had to find it later. But yeah, George Hunter White's the CIA guy.
Yeah, really interesting story. Really cool. Needs to have that story told on film.
It would make millions of dollars. Like, it would be Transformers 2, probably.
I don't think that's entirely true. Because they'd have to rate it R, first of all.
True.
Yeah. So, but and then the other one that I really got a kick out of was one of our favorite listeners, Jarve. He answered George Carlin, and the reason I liked it so much, George Carlin's an interesting American character, but he picked some excellent, excellent people to play George Carlin. As far as old George Carlin, he's got William H. Macy playing him, and young George Carlin, he's got John Krasinski from The Office playing him, and I think those are really just excellent calls, and so impressed me an awful lot with his bonus points for who would play them.
Yeah, he put some picture by picture too. He found pictures for each and put them right next to each other, and they look quite alike. It's pretty good.
I actually liked Dean's response.
I did too. I'm glad you brought that up, because otherwise I was going to bring it up at the end.
Just because Tesla's awesome and he's a freak. So
yeah, he doesn't get, he's got a really, really interesting life, and he doesn't get enough credit around here. He's always just the guy who really invented stuff that no one knows about. So it's about time he gets his due, and interesting story.
Yeah, not that he shouldn't have his own movie, but he did get played by David Bowie. That's a pretty big honor. If when I die, David Bowie plays me in a movie, I'll be happy.
Those are good ones. Jarve was probably the number one. I would probably give second place to Scott P, just because his was off the grid almost. He picked Charles Band, which is just a guy that was responsible for a lot of the puppets and behind really making a lot of the 80 horror classics like Puppet Master, he says, and Ghoulies, which, by the way, I just watched Ghoulies 2, which is the good one, the good Ghoulies. And he keeps releasing these movies, not going for the big bucks, just doing stuff he likes. And his point is, a guy that's this messed up making all these crazy puppets has got to be has some kind of interest story, and it would be interesting to see what's going on inside that dude's head.
It's sort of funny. I read that and I thought about the movie Ed Wood, the Tim Burton movie about the 1950s and 60s director Ed Wood, and it's sort of just kind of like he made these horrible horror movies that nobody really thought were serious, and like it's just a big joke. I mean, Ed Wood was a pretty good movie, so I can see this one being a pretty good one too.
Yeah, that'd be good. Like a lot of these, I'd go see him. I'd go see him. I'd be very pumped too. Our Parker Posey would be putting our last weeks away. We have to start with a new one today. And James, you have the question, which, again, if you want to play along with the Parker Posey, you can go to the Facebook page, look for the Movie Hour in Facebook, and you can answer there. And you can also go to the forums at GungaPit.com, which is also the home of the Movie Hour, and you can answer there. And we will bring up your question or your answers in the next podcast. So, yeah, James, knock us out with your new question.
Well, as usual, I'm going mainstream, middle-of-the-road question, nice, easy one. Hopefully there's lots of answers to that. I just want to, get as many responses as possible, get some kind of record or something. But my question is, what is your favorite movie death? Nice and simple, nice and basic. Best death scene. And it should be about the death itself and not just, oh, I hated that guy, I'm glad to see him dead.
Battlestar Galactica, best death.
So, my choice is going to be Hans Gruber falling to his death in Die Hard. I just love the fact that he's got a grip on the guy's arm, and he's going, pulling his gun up to shoot him. He gets released and starts to fall, and then has that oh shit look.
That music's awesome too. That music's really awesome in that.
Yeah, and with all the the pieces of paper and money or whatever floating around in the sky, and him falling to his death. I really like that one.
It's just like hard brass, like blaring. I got a question. What about supposed? What about supposed deaths? Like, for instance, if I wanted to pick Masters of the Universe Skeletor dying, and the end of that movie, but after the credits, Skeletor like reaches out of the lava, so he's not. He's not dead.
Jim, do me a favor and say, yeah, that's fine, just so that Greg has to answer that. Or
and for instance, Megatron, who dies in the first Transformers, comes back in the second one.
The answer is no. Yeah, he's got to be dead.
Interesting. Aww.
But what about all the open-ended ones? Like, there could be another Indiana Jones and, like...
Well, right now it's legal.
Okay, all right. I still don't have an answer. Jeff, go quick.
Okay. You know, it's funny. The first thing that popped into my head, and several other things that popped into my head that have been more grandiose, but the immediate thing that popped into my head was Adam Goldberg's character, Stanley Mellish, in Saving Private Ryan. If you don't remember...
Ooh, that is a good one.
Yeah. It's just so incredibly... Like, it's totally different than Jim's answer. And not that it's better. It's just totally different. It's the guy that, like, the Nazi soldier, the German soldier is, like, on top of him with the knife. And, like, it's just the most gruesome, like, haunting death I've ever seen
it's
in my
so
entire life.
It's so much more personal.
Yeah, exactly. It's just... It's incredible. Like, it's not like a guy shooting a guy and he's falling over. It's like you're watching this guy just die in front of your eyes. And it's,
yeah, you're
like,
wincing as the blade enters his chest.
And I don't know, favorite implies that I liked it. I mean, I haven't seen that movie in probably close to a decade, and that still is incredibly fresh in my brain. So as far as a cinematic
moment, 1999, that's as far as I'd let you go.
Yeah. Well, it was actually 24th of July, 1998, I haven't seen that movie in a long time, and it really, really haunts me. And so as far as a cinematic moment, something that stuck in my head, that really did it for me. I gave you a lot of time using
I have one there,
so go ahead.
I have one, and I have a sort of, like, the ones I think I enjoy most, the ones I think, like, affect me the most, that, first off, I'm not picking Mel Gibson and Braveheart, I'm not doing that, but... That's a good answer for other people. The ones where people don't get killed, but are like sort of like maybe even like self-sacrifice, or maybe have to for some reason have to die to have the story go on. I think those are ones that I'd pick. And the one specifically that comes to mind is more recent.
Terminator 2.
Ernie was Jackie Earle Haley's character in The Watchman, Rorschach, who dies in that movie. And I think it's also because I read the book, and his character is great in the book also, or the graphic novel. Yeah, idiots. but he ends up dying sort of just as just like a victim of circumstance, where his friend ends up killing him, Dr. Manhattan, because I guess, like, you can probably, I don't know if you can call him friends, but they're like, he doesn't hate him, but he has to kill him. And his death is pretty emotional, and it was played pretty well out in The Watchmen, the movie, and that was the one that came to mind. So.
God, you know what that makes me think of, and this might be even better, is it's another Spielberg. I'm sticking with my original, but the Green Mile. What's his name? Michael Duncan Clark.
Yeah,
that's
there you
really
go.
Intense.
You know, those are the ones that I'd probably lean toward most. But yeah, that's a good question.
My second place would probably be another Alan Rickman one. I really like it when the Sheriff of Nottingham dies. He does this big theatrical death. It's awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty good. I like that. But yeah,
Rickman's
excellent question.
Man. Good question, Jim. As always, Jim busts out an excellent question.
So, James, can you phrase it for the listeners at home?
Very simply, what is your favorite movie death? And again, it should be about the death itself and not about wanting to see a character go away.
Right. Very, very good. Very good. So you can answer that question at gungapit.com or find the Movie Hour page at Facebook. And James and Jeff, another excellent show behind us. Thank you once again for the input.
Yeah, I had fun. Hope everyone else enjoyed.
Gee, you're never going to win another quiz ever again. But drive safe, people.
Take care. Thank you for listening to the Michael Jackson Was Murdered Movie Hour.
I'm not exactly proud, but that's from Leaving Las Vegas, so I guess I'm not ashamed.
I was hoping it would be such a generic statement that it might blend in a little better, but it stuck out.
Dude, Nick
Cage, I remember that line pretty clearly.
You could go anywhere with that, dude. It's the bees, not the bees, not the bees.
I tried to, I picked one movie.
That long later, this girl whose picture makes her look pretty darn attractive sends me back one like, oh, what kind of music do you like? So I, you know, I put down like a brief rundown, and like pretty much right away she gets back to me and she's like, yeah, I'm into the Faint, Jeff Buckley, the Shins. Like, I'm like, whoa, this is kind of cool. So
it's a dude. It's a dude.
It's don't, a dude. It's the internet.
Yeah, like, careful, Jeff. Careful. Can we get a link? Like, can we get into this? Like, I'm sure.
I don't think I want you guys fucking up my little joke.
It's a dude.
What's her name?
Caitlin.
That's a dude.
Caitlin, that's a dude.